Welcome to Elevate Today podcast, where we elevate one podcast at a time. Today, I am with my mother, who is a gut health specialist. And today, she's going to keep it very simple for us on how we can get healthy in 2023. So, mother, welcome to my show.
Oh, thanks, Hannah. Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here. This is awesome.
Yes, this is a different setup for me. I like facing each other directly this way and having this angle. So this is new. But yeah, so basically my mom managed to just be really passionate about health and get me and my siblings super into it. And as I've gotten older and understood that for a lot of people, health is very complicated. And it's not as simple as I got to see it be growing up with a very health conscious mom. So I just wanted to have her come on here and simplify it so that everyone listening to the show could be like, okay, I have hope and excitement for 2023 being a very healthy me. So how could you help the average listener that wants to help their health?
Awesome. Thank you. Okay. Wow. That was a lot. You know, it's funny because you mentioned raising you kind of like you just thought that was normal, that everyone ate healthy. And I definitely did not grow up like that. Mm-hmm. We're talking Twinkies was my favorite. Mm-hmm. And we lived walking distance to a grocery store, a little store, and I used to get candy. I was a candyholic. So plus I wasn't a very healthy kid. I was considered the sickly one. And I think that's what made me so passionate about health. And I got into nursing because I thought that that would be the way to health. And then I realized, no, that's not it. So I got into holistic health because I became a massage therapist in nursing school. And so it was fun. Holistic health was always my hobby, my passion, my fun. Then when I brought kids into the world, I'm like, oh, took it to a whole other level because mm-hmm. I realized that I didn't want you guys to be unhealthy the way I was as a kid. I didn't want you to be as sick as often as I was as a kid. So that was really my motivation. And many times during your growing up, we would discover new ways to get healthy. Like you would have maybe a skin problem, and then I would just go bonkers researching on how to take care of that, or pneumonia or something. Somebody would get something. Mm-hmm. And that really taught me how to help my kids get healthy. But when it came to my own health, maybe I didn't pay as much attention because I was so stressed out just taking care of kids, taking care of business, doing everything, and honestly trying to make it look like I had it all together on the outside. And then my health actually went down. You know why? Because even though I was doing all these good things, I wasn't taking care of the foundation of my health. Mm-hmm. Because remember I said I was sick as a kid?
Yeah.
Well, I never went back and rebuilt that healthy foundation. I did for you guys, but not for me.
So when you were a kid, how could you define unhealthy if you, made it through normal childhood? Because we would get sick too.
Well, the one good thing is I grew up, okay, this is going to age me a little bit, but I grew up like before fast food, I know you look that shocked face. So we ate at home all the time. And I remember around the corner when the first Jack in a Box was put in, right? And then it became, oh, we could go to Jack in the Box once a week, but it was just so not normal. However, even though we ate at home all the time, we always had donuts in the house, always had cookies. So the morning started off with Fruit Loop cereal.
Dang.
That was breakfast. Then we go to school and we eat the cafeteria lunches. And, that's crap. And then we come home and we have milk and cookies after school. Or just whatever. And then dinner was hamburgers, spaghetti, just the normal stuff. But it didn't consist of salads. It didn't consist of vegetables. We didn't eat vegetables. There wasn't a lot of fruit. That's what unhealthy was back then.
And how did you feel as a kid?
Very tired all the time. I had a lot of asthma, a lot of allergies. I thought allergies was just who I was. I just was part of my life. And then as I became an adult, I took care of it and then no allergies. My allergies are gone. But as a kid, I had allergies, asthma, always sick, underweight, just always tired, even though I was a hyper kid. But that was probably the up and downs of this unhealthy eating.
Yeah. Yeah. Because the reason I ask that is when I'm talking to my friends about things that they eat, they'll just be like kind of thinking I'm overdoing it. And they'll be like, we're all going to die anyways. I'm like, yes, but how you feel before you die. Like that, you want to live the best. You want to feel energy. You want to feel alive inside. Mm-hmm. And even though you're going to eat crap and think you're fine, you could eat something better and feel so much better, feel energized, not deal with the asthma that they may think is normal, or even like mental stuff that could be influenced by their poor eating.
Yeah. So I, that's funny. People say that, you know, we're going to die anyways. Well, exactly. I'm not staying healthy because I want to be healthy after I die. I want to feel good now. Mm-hmm. So I don't do these things. I do these things because I want energy, mental clarity, clear skin. I want to feel great now.
Yeah.
So that's why we do it.
So, why do you think massage therapy bridged you to holistic nutrition?
That's such a good question. No one's ever asked me that question. Mm. And so when I was in nursing school, I was really, really young. I was, I want to say 19 when I actually started the nursing program. And we had to do bed baths and catheters and all kinds of very invasive things. And I was afraid of touching people in their very private places. So I was like, oh my gosh, I'm only 19. So I go, okay, this is really scary. So how can I get over this? Okay, I'll become a massage therapist. Because if I can massage people, then... I'll be fine. And so that's how it happened.
That's a funny aspect of you. And maybe I get that from you, but I just think that's really strange. But whenever you're scared of something, you just do it more.
Totally. If I'm afraid of something, I step into it to get over, like I saturate myself with it so that it takes the fear away. And so definitely when I got into massage therapy, Then that opened up the world of holistic health. We're talking in 1990 when no one was talking about holistic health. Mm-hmm. There was nobody was talking about health at all. And it opened up my world of what it meant to be healthy. And I realized in the hospitals, they weren't healthy. They were sick. I wanted to work with people before that.
Jeez. Mm-hmm.
And it made me a much better nurse, because when I got back into the program, because I took a year off to become a massage therapist, when I went back in, I understood the power of a healing touch. So when I was doing vital signs, I go in there, but I'm touching the patient and I understand the healing aspect of my touch.
Wow. Yeah, it's like a unique form of healing. Mm-hmm. But it's crazy because, well, when you're at the hospital and we were staying there, the food was just like the most average thing ever. Like, I remember wanting to eat somewhat kind of clean, and I would have those naked juices, mm-hmm. like a chai vanilla protein shake. And that was like the only clean thing. Otherwise, it was just processed sandwiches or just packaged meals. And I'm like, this is a hospital. Yeah. Where's the organic, clean, grass-fed, free-range eggs? It was non-existent then. And so
you're speaking a foreign language to so many people.
Yeah. And that's why we need to backtrack and simplify like health, or why certain foods make people feel certain ways, or how food can cause inflammation. Like, what do you think are the blockages that someone has? Because in a way I'm brainwashed because all I know is healthy and normal. Mm-hmm. You're not brainwashed because you've seen how majority live, Costco shopping, where you can get like a bunch of cheap stuff and you just want to live financially smart and stuff like that. Like, you know what all the Twinkie bars and the cereals and the sodas, that lifestyle looks like, but now you know the nutritional, holistic, mindful eating lifestyle. So like, when you were a kid, what are things that people didn't know that if you could talk to yourself back then as a child, be like, Denise, don't eat that, that's gonna make you feel ABC?
So as a kid, which obviously would help your audience today, right? Because they're raising their kids. So what would I have? Because it's still the standard American diet. The way I ate as a kid was normal. And this is still how everyone's eating. We've come a long way in health information, but not changing people's habits. You see? So the information is out there, but we haven't changed our culture in how we do things. So we're still eating the Fruit Loops and that kind of stuff. So I guess the first thing is understanding what sugar actually does, because it's sugar dominated our diet. And I'm sure for a lot of people in your audience, sugar is still dominating their diet, which if we understood that how damaging sugar is, that when you eat sugar, your immune system will go down for approximately 6 hours. When you eat sugar, you'll spike your inflammation. When you eat sugar, you're feeding pathogens. So if you were exposed to a virus or a bacteria, let's say the day before, maybe you were with somebody and they were sick or whatever, we're exposed to bacteria and viruses every day, all day. It's what we live in. But let's say there's a pathogen who's trying to take hold, a bacteria that's trying to make you sick. Well, if you eat sugar, you're feeding that pathogen. That's what they eat. That's their fuel. So, plus it spikes your insulin, and then insulin is a fat storage hormone. So sugar is so damaging. So the thing that maybe could have been done different to me as a child is not so much sugar in my diet.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's really difficult. So I'm not saying to be drastic, like I raised you guys, but what I am saying is monitor the sugar, understand what you're doing. If you're going to give your child that bowl of Fruit Loops, just honestly be honest with yourself and say, okay, right now they're being loaded with sugar. So maybe later on, I'm going to give them, say, hey, let's eat some fruit, or let's eat some vegetables, or let's do something healthy to counter the effects of sugar.
Yeah. And to give some context, by the crazy ways that my parents raised us, it was burn candy in the fire on Halloween, not allowed to have soda in the house, like ever. If my dad found soda, he would get pissed. It was like a fear thing. I'm like, oh shoot, someone brought soda. You would find mine and Ariana's stash of candy in our bedrooms, and you would just throw it away. That would suck because it would be a big collection. We couldn't eat out of fast food. We wouldn't eat birthday cakes.
What happened when we were at the grocery store and you guys were little and you'd be standing there? And what is at eye level for children at the grocery store when we're in line?
The candies.
Candies.
Yeah.
And then you'd say, Mom, can I have it? What did I tell you?
What did you tell me?
I'd say, oh, no, that's, what did I say? I was the devil.
Oh, candy's the devil.
Candy's the devil.
Yeah, food. There was food that were the devil. Or, like, when I'd go out and see friends or go to a birthday party, like, I would eat the cake and just, like, stuff my face. And the parents would think it's funny and send dad pictures, and I would, like, just be so embarrassed and scared. Or we'd go out with Mama T and Nana, and they would just be like, don't tell your mom. And we'd eat whatever we want.
And then the thing is, let's say you go to a party and you eat that kind of stuff. You don't want to shame anyone. You don't want to, I mean, I know that you're telling stories like we went bonkers and got mad at you and everything. But if you really look back, it wasn't always like that, because you don't want to shame someone and start giving them, what is it, insecurity about food, or make them shameful about food. So you don't want to do that. Instead, when you would come home from a sleepover or a birthday party, I would just monitor you. And then when you'd say, oh, my stomach hurts, or oh, I'm tired, I would simply say, did you eat cake at that party?
Oh my gosh. Do you remember when I was like 12 or maybe 11 and Mama T would get us these big cups of coffee? And my energy was off, and you looked at me and you're like, you had coffee today, huh? And I was like, oh my gosh, yeah. And she's, you told me, like, don't be drinking coffee this young. And I was just mind blown that you could see it in whatever I did. But
it's just making, helping people see the correlation. Everything is cause and effect. Everything. We are never stagnant. If we were stagnant, we'd be dead. Everything is cause and effect. Every single cell in your body, every tissue. If you choose to eat something, it has an effect on your cell. It's either going to help that cell be stronger and healthier, or help it die and become, you know, toxic.
Yeah.
So all I was trying to do is help you recognize, if you choose to eat that cake, notice how you feel afterwards. That was the most important thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And now that I'm like an adult and I look back and see other kids, how they were raised, like, they'll have trauma from eating where they always feel like they can't eat enough, or they're told to eat more. But me and how we were raised, my siblings, it's just like we had a healthy relationship with food. Mm-hmm. Candy was bad, sugar was bad, but we kind of like agreed with it as we gained knowledge. Yeah.
But you're right, it was about a healthy relationship with food.
Mm-hmm.
I used to hear parents say, oh, my kid's so finicky, or my kid won't eat this or that. You guys were great eaters because you had a healthy relationship with food. And I tried to make it fun. In other words, we would have fruit parties where we'd cut up fruit and we'd put them on plates and set them all over the floor in the living room. And then we'd sit around and eat fruit. Or, you know, we'd play with our vegetables and make it into a song or whatever. So I wanted to make food... like not have a bad relationship with food. Or what about when you were eating something junky and you didn't want it anymore? I never forced you to eat food. It was, you said, oh, I don't want to finish. I said, well, that's okay. I'd rather have that in the garbage than in your body. Mm-hmm. And so you learned that you could throw it away.
Oh, yeah. Always. And that's not how you were raised. You always had to eat it.
Always had to eat it.
Yeah. And that's what's like really unfortunate, because people aren't connecting this dot, or parents aren't connecting this dot. And then their children are dealing with inflammation in their bodies, which may look like obesity, which may look like certain things. And it's just so unfortunate because no one really knows. No one really talks about it. And I think the simplest way to put it is it's either poison or it's medicine. True. Like that's all you're giving your kid. That's all you're giving yourself. And so if you do a little bit of food science, you can just simplify everything you eat.
Yeah. So my suggestion for people listening to your podcast right now is, because I know it sounds like, oh my gosh, what you guys are talking about sounds insane. It sounds difficult. How are we supposed to change our habits? But it starts with changing one thing. And the beautiful thing about kids, because I know we're talking about kids and this goes for even adults, but the beautiful thing about kids is their body changes very rapidly. So whatever you do today is literally going to affect them tomorrow. Maybe adults, you know, we're already established, so it takes a little bit more effort to make change, but kids change rapidly. Their cells are changing over rapidly. So you could start making habit changes on Monday, and then they'll start literally feeling better by Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, whatever. So one of the most important things that I've really thought of incorporating for families is smoothies in the mornings. Mm-hmm. And yes, you want to make it taste good for them. And sometimes it might require a scoop of vanilla ice cream. If they don't like it, but you want to start teaching them how to drink it, you're going to put your protein, you're going to put your maybe a chunk of spinach, maybe some superfoods, just whatever. And they're like, oh, I don't like the taste. Put a little chunk of vanilla ice cream or even a scoop of peanut butter to kind of like camouflage that, you know, healthy taste, and get them used to doing the smoothies first thing in the morning. Mm-hmm. That'll set them up for the day. So that to me is totally key, because you can't control how they eat at school. You can't control maybe how they eat after school, but that morning head start is very important.
Mm-hmm. And that's how me and Ariana ate for like years, like mm-hmm. 6-7 years and mm-hmm. till now, really. Protein shakes every single day during high school, and that's just had us feeling so good. We never really had health issues.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I have a really great smoothie recipe that I should share it with you, and you should share it with your audience. Yes. Because a lot of times people are like, okay, what do I do? Just throw some strawberries? No, there's a way to do it. You want to put the right amount of liquid, you want to put the right amount of fruit, and then vegetable. The best vegetable, in my opinion, is spinach, because it doesn't mess up the flavor, even though I put everything in there, all kinds of veggies. And then you want to put superfoods. Well, which ones? How do you choose that? So I have a really nice recipe that helps. Mm-hmm. You can just print it up, post it on your wall, make it every morning.
Mm-hmm. I'll for sure share that. So when I post stuff, like maybe my morning breakfast, people will ask for my recipes or different drinks that I have. My question is, or what I want you to share, is like from morning to night, a healthy eating way, a healthy eating lifestyle, where someone could hear this and be like, okay, I don't have this protein, but I have my protein, so we'll sub that. For lunch, what could I substitute for whatever you say? So just morning to night with the sea moss, turmeric, whatever you do.
Okay, I love that question. And we're gonna, you know, it. I have this formula. I call it the SSF squared formula. It's systemize, simplify, make it fun, and then focus. So that's what that stands for. So
cool. I never heard that.
Yeah. It's called the SSF squared formula. And so it kind of leads into what you're asking here. Like, what's a typical day? It's based on being systemized, because life is complicated enough. We are living such a busy world, such a busy life, that we need to systemize certain things that are important. And that is our health. Systemize. Keep it simple. The world is trying to make health complicated, and it's not. So you need to keep it simple, and then you need to keep it fun, and then focus. And I'll share that at the end. But basically, systemize. So my mornings are systemized. I have exactly what I'm going to drink. So I do, when I wake up in the morning, I have it by my bed already prepared in a glass container. Sometimes just a regular old mason jar, and it's water with lemon. And then I have another one, water with a green drink powder. And so when I wake up in the morning, that's the first thing I do is I drink these. Mm-hmm. So then I go in the kitchen and I make a smoothie. And that smoothie has everything from my vegetables, my fruit, my my good fats, I put MCT oil, avocado oil. So no matter what happens, how I eat the rest of the day, I'm solid. I mean, I don't necessarily even have to eat the rest of the day because this is such a full smoothie. Mm-hmm. So I start there. And then when it goes into, and then I'm pretty much set till lunch. And I try to extend my lunch late, let's say 2 o'clock, even three sometimes, mm-hmm. two or three, really two. And then I just think, okay, what protein am I going to eat? And if I can't, if I don't have grass-fed meat or steak, if I don't have some good chicken in the refrigerator, or I'm not, don't have the time, I'll make eggs because that's an excellent go-to protein. So what protein am I going to use? It's the first question. Second question is, which vegetables? Either I'll saute some vegetables or I'll just do some salad. Mm-hmm. Easy. And that is my typical. If I feel that my body needs carbohydrates, which it doesn't always, but if I feel like, oh yeah, I could use some carbs, then I'll do a rice or an organic corn tortilla, something like, or even quinoa, something like that. But I don't always add that. And then that, I'll make that my largest meal of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes I do dinner, sometimes I don't. Most of the time I don't. If I am going to do something in the evening, it'll be really small, like kefir with sea moss in a glass. And that's mm-hmm. it. So really, I'm intermittent fasting the evening. And that's it. That's my day.
Mm-hmm. So protein shake, that one we'll share the recipe, and that's simple. For mm-hmm. that big lunch meal, as far as protein goes, the cleaner the better. Grass-fed, free-range, happy animal, good meat. So something where I feel like people don't understand is when it comes to carbohydrates.
Okay.
So, okay, I need to eat my carbs. Let me have like this big old pasta, white, you know, the white one where it's just super heavy and you end up feeling tired, but you're like, this is good because this is a carb. But can you talk about like how to pick the right and healthy, cleaner carb?
Sure. So a carbohydrate, well, vegetables are actually a carbohydrate also. So mm-hmm. you're getting carbs. But what they're talking about, most people think about carbohydrates as a starch. So you're really thinking about your starch. So you're really thinking about your breads, your pastas, your those kind of things. So now, first and foremost, what I must say is it really depends on each person on how well they're digesting their carbs. So everybody has to be really gauge how they're responding. Okay, so if their gut is really messed up, then they're not going to do well on any carbs. But as their gut gets stronger, they're going to be able to add different carbs. However, gluten has become very damaging to the gut, probably because of the way we're processing gluten now as opposed to the way we did in the past. So breads, white breads, red breads in general, pastas, mm-hmm. They're very... It's very irritating to the gut and it's not good for you at all. So what are the best carbs? You would start with, like I said, what your body can tolerate, but rice, quinoa, oats, wild rice. Some people can do corn, some can't. I would say the organic corn because it's non-GMO. So those are your carbs. And they're not super necessary exactly because you're getting your carbs in your vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times your energy needs just that boost of carbs.
Mm-hmm.
Not the white carb, not the pasta, not the breads or the cereals.
So for an athlete who needs a lot more carbohydrates, what would you suggest for them?
They could definitely do the rice, the oats, sweet potatoes, white potatoes. I mean, that's plenty.
Mm-hmm.
I say this because I don't really eat bread. So,
because people are eating like pizzas, burgers, pasta, bread, and I for me that's not normal, but they don't realize that it's not the cleanest option. So everyone's like stigma and normal has to change and kind of just be refreshed that maybe there's better options out there for carbohydrates, like sweet potatoes. That's ideal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then as far as drinking goes throughout the day,
you mean the quantity of water?
Mm-hmm.
So yes, so like I said, I start my day with those. I think each jar is maybe eight ounces, 10 mm-hmm. ounces each jar. So I start that off. I'm drinking water all day long. I'm staying very, very hydrated. But sometimes water just kind of sits in your stomach and it doesn't feel so great. So I usually put electrolytes because it helps absorb the water better. So maybe a green powder from Amazing Grass, or Organifi has another great green mm-hmm. powder. There's lots of them out there. Or you can put chlorophyll. There's liquid chlorophyll. Lemon. You could just squeeze lemon. You can just cut some cucumbers in there. You can put a pinch of sea salt, Himalayan sea salt, to add some minerals into your water. But I mean, I drink a ton of water.
Mm-hmm.
More than the average person.
Is sparkling water, does that still count?
You know, it's not, that's a great question. They say that the sparkling part of it, the
carbonation,
that it can be very damaging to the esophagus because it's aggressive, to the stomach. So I just don't do sparkling water, and that's the reason why, because I'm very protective of my stomach, where first digestion happens in the stomach. So I want my stomach to be mm-hmm. solid.
Can you talk about why people shouldn't drink sodas?
Yes.
Because that's like my whole goal is to convince the people listening that they should get healthy, and it's actually simple, and there's very few things that you have to change, for some more. But it's like, when I, again, talk to people, they're still drinking soda every day. They're still eating pizza pockets every day. Orange juice with a bunch of sugar inside. So this whole drink water and just water with a little bit of salt, it's foreign to them. So like, why is soda bad on the daily, especially for children?
Oh my gosh. Okay. Wow, that's a very packed question. Yes. Okay, so we know that our body is made of like 60 to 70% water. So what we're putting in the form of liquid is being used in our body, in every single cell of our body. So that's why water is so important, right? Because we need to replenish and make sure that we're well hydrated. So if we're not drinking water, then we're drinking sodas. The body has to extract all the chemicals, the sugar, and all that to hopefully get some water molecules out of there. And they're just not. They're just not going to get quality water molecules in there to use in your body. But sodas are loaded with sugar, very damaging. And then it changes the pH in your body. So it puts you in an inflammatory state. And then it's just loaded with all kinds of other chemicals. And your body is constantly trying to detox. So you drink this soda trying to hydrate yourself, but in reality, you're not hydrating yourself, so you're dehydrated.
Mm-hmm.
You're putting a ton of sugar in, and then the chemicals that it's trying to detox. So think of your energy. Your body has energy, and you use that energy like a bank account. You can use that energy to be alert and move around in your day. You use that energy to detox. You use that energy to think, and everything we do, and the functions of our body. And we use it to detox. But if you're eating processed junky food and drinking sodas, then you're literally spending that bank account of energy to detox those foods. So you're spending it on that. And so you have no more for, enjoying your day, going for a walk, working out, thinking clearly. So think of your energy as a bank account. Where are you going to spend it? Are you going to spend it on detoxing? Spend it on trying to digest food that your body doesn't recognize, or are you going to spend it on things that you want to enjoy in life?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
And is that why some people just get sick over and over and over?
Absolutely. Absolutely why.
Mm-hmm. And then like certain people who are more on top of their health just don't get sick. They can be around sick people and don't get sick because they don't empty their tank with their body fighting these sugars, these unhealthy foods in their body, or lack of sleep, or too much stress, which we should talk about after. But their body can just recover with digest their food properly, function properly. And so when they come against different bacteria, they don't get sick.
That is true. So getting sick. So people that are healthy, they do get sick. You know, people who do eat healthy habit or have healthy habits, they do get sick. They usually recover better. They usually recover faster,
mm-hmm.
and then they can usually figure out why it happened, because it's getting sick is your body's way of respond, or it's not that you just by the luck of the draw got sick. There's an underlining root cause of why it happened,
mm-hmm.
and it's not necessarily it's often something from childhood. So a lot of times as an adult, let's say like me, you lived you were very unhealthy as a child, and then you try to get healthy as an adult, but you still have to address some of the damage that was done as a child. I mean, as a kid with asthma, I was given a medication that I lived on for years that has since been taken off the market.
What's it called?
Banned. Theophylline.
Wow.
And it's not even used anymore. And I remember being a kid taking these drugs for asthma, and I used to tell my mom, I feel like I'm not here. And I was little, and I would tell my sister, I don't know what's wrong. I know I'm here, but I feel like I'm not here. And she'd say, oh, you're lightheaded. I'm like, okay. Wow, I'm lightheaded. It's the medication. And so the medication used to make my hands shake.
There's a lot of asthma?
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like the effects on like these mental health medications that make these people not feel like themselves.
Totally.
Because it controls their mood, but then they're just numb. And a lot of studies are showing that's the worst thing you can do.
Yes. And so what happened was, as a child, the root is I damaged my gut. With all the antibiotics that I had as a child, all the crap that I ate as a child, all the medication that I was on, damaged my gut. So even though I started doing healthy things as an adult, I never went back and healed my gut, which is the foundation. So when I talked about my SSF squared formula, simplify, systemize, make it fun. And then when I said focus, it's focus on healing your gut. Your gut is your foundation.
Yeah. So how do you heal your gut from the past? Let's say you're eating healthy now, but you have this weird reoccurring issue because it's from your childhood. How would you like heal your gut so that you don't have to deal with those issues anymore?
Well, that's another podcast, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So yeah. We'll do that again, because healing your gut is actually in many layers. So it takes many, you have to, it's a process to heal your gut. It's not just like simple, like take a probiotic. Although I wish it was, because sometimes your gut is damaged because you have a parasite, you have a bacterial infection, maybe you have a fungus, maybe you have heavy metals, and you need to identify why your gut isn't healing itself. Maybe you have leaky gut, which probably that's what it is. A lot of people do have leaky gut. And basically it means that the gut lining, think about the stomach lining and the intestinal lining. It's like a mesh barrier. And if there's holes, because you've damaged your gut in the past, those holes will allow things that you eat to get through into your bloodstream. And that's where the damage happens, is when things get through into your bloodstream and it can hit your brain and other organs. So healing your gut is about healing the gut lining, changing the environment that you are putting in your body. Like sodas is a horrible environment, junk food, a horrible environment. Change the environment in your gut. Take things like sea moss that causes you to heal the gut lining. And then the third thing is rebuild and replenish your microbiome. And those are the bacteria that live on the gut lining. The microbiome is the bacteria that literally works for you to protect you. There are 10 times more of them in our body than there are human cells. So really, the good bacteria, they run the show. So you need to replenish them, feed them, take care of them, love them, think happy thoughts for them. And I'm not even joking.
Mm-hmm. Good bacteria.
Good bacteria.
Like dirt.
Like dirt.
Well, you told me this, like putting your feet in dirt.
Yes.
Earthing and eating kimchi and good bacteria in fermented food. So like when people drink kombucha, because all of a sudden kombucha was trending, like, oh my gosh, it's fermented tea. But that's good bacteria that can fight the bad bacteria. Mm-hmm. But what we're doing is killing all the bacteria. Mm-hmm. Like the concept of hand sanitizer, I don't use hand sanitizer, only wash my hands because of what you told me. Mm-hmm. But it's, again, another stigma that has people repeating the same patterns and not thinking, oh, there's such a thing as good bacteria. I should be more mindful of the products I put on my hands because it literally affects your insides. Mm-hmm. That's mind blowing.
And you're so okay. So we talked about the layer, the lining. We talked about the environment. You know, the pH and what you're eating affects the environment that these bugs live in, the good bugs. Now, that microbiome.
What's a microbiome?
Microbiome is the good bacteria that run the show.
In your stomach.
in your stomach, in your intestines, in your nose, in your hair, in your eyes. But we talk about it in the gut.
Because and the gut is your mouth to your...
Your mouth to your anus.
Okay.
It's like a long cavern from your mouth to your anus. And mm-hmm. there is bacteria in there. Like 4 pounds worth of bacteria. So it's a lot. And they were established when you were a baby. So a lot of your microbiome comes from your mom. And to be honest, it comes from how well her microbiome was because she passed it on to you. Just like you will pass it on to your children. And so taking care of your microbiome is absolutely important because it happens generation after generation. Plus the people you live with, you're sharing in the microbiome with them. And so that's why they're so, so important. And yes, fermented foods, you want to take a spore-based probiotic.
What does that mean?
That means there's lots of probiotics out there, but you want to find a spore-based probiotic. So I have some on my website. You can always look there. And I have a couple brands that are just awesome. Mm-hmm. A spore-based probiotic is the best. Then fermented foods, kimchis, kefirs, things like that. Getting outside in the dirt, gardening, having a pet is good because your pet has good bacteria. Just we live in a bacterial world.
Yeah. So bacteria is not bad all the time.
No, there's bad bacteria and good bacteria.
The more good bacteria you have, the more freedom you have to be around bad bacteria.
Absolutely. Because the more good bacteria you have, when a bad bacteria comes into your environment, your stomach, or you're exposed to it, they will go and attack it and take care of it and kill it and manage it.
Yeah. Just like, I just want to tell people to calm down when it comes to germs. Because everyone's like, ew, gotta wash my hands, hand sanitizer. I'm like, you are that. You are bacteria. It's on inside of you, outside of you. Like, you're one with it. And back then, we didn't have hand sanitizer. Like, our ancestors from Mexico, from Guam, from the Philippines, they just did everything with their hands.
Yeah,
they're connected to earth.
Hand sanitizers. You just need basic water and soap. And to just wash off the bacteria or the stuff that's on your hands. The reason you don't want to use hand sanitizer is because of the alcohol, it's literally killing the good bacteria. Because you have a layer of microbiome, good bacteria on your hands. And when you use hand sanitizers, you're killing that protective layer. So now you're going to be exposed to stuff and there's no more protection. That's why we don't use it. Yes, wash your hands. You know, it's not like you go outside and get your hands dirty and come in and eat your food.
Yeah.
No, wash your hands. But don't use hand sanitizers or antibacterial soaps.
Yeah, I feel like I'm going to get questions on that one. But so now with all the, it's December, so people are getting colds, they're getting fevers, they're getting sick. People's instinct is to wear a mask and to put on hand sanitizer. What is a more effective and practical and efficient way to avoid getting sick that's not wearing hand sanitizer and wearing a mask?
That's so good. So, okay, so as we head into the winter season and people are going to start getting sick. Well, first of all, we got to stop saying that we're going to start getting sick. Because
yes.
Once we tell ourselves that, then all of a sudden we expect it. And what you expect, you're going to get. What you focus on, you're going to get. Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing. Secondly is air out your house for about an hour a day. So open up the windows, especially in the morning, because all of our windows are closed and we're turning on the vent, the air is not circulating anymore. And that allows mold to build up, especially those of us who live in California or anyone living on the coast in a moist area. You're going to have mold. So you need to open up the windows so that the outdoor air can just blow through and lower the mold in your house. So that's number one. And then number two is get outside and get sunlight at least 20 minutes a day into your eyes, on your skin, as much as possible. That'll raise your vitamin D levels. And then of course get a nice multivitamin with, you know, vitamin C, vitamin D, that kind of stuff. Zinc, quercetin, that kind of thing keeps your immune system boosted. Those are the main things. Stay hydrated. Just remind yourself that when you eat sugar, your immune system is down for a period of 6 hours. And remember, rest. I have two more suggestions. The first one is rest. Rest is very important. You are healing when you're sleeping. If you are not sleeping, you're really not healing. You are healing when you are sleeping. So just gauge that. Let's mm-hmm. say you go to a Christmas party or something, you stay out really late or whatever. Just remember, you need to replenish that sleep. So just kind of gauge that. And then number two, this is the one people don't think about.
Mm-hmm.
This is very important because I know we're going to go into stress.
I knew you'd say that.
Okay. But I'm going to go, but I'm going to start on the back end. I'm going to say, instead of let's just talk about stress, because, you know, come on, everyone talks about stress.
Yeah.
The truth is, the best way to manage stress is breath. That's it.
Wow, I've never heard of that. That's really cool.
Well, you know why? I have gone, and I've probably spent thousands upon thousands of dollars to study on how to deal with stress. I've tried on thousands of supplements, right? Trust me, if there's a way to manage stress, I know how to do it. And what I can tell you, the most easiest and most cost-effective way to manage stress, breath. Mm-hmm. So you want to inhale for two, hold for two, exhale for four. That's a simple. And then after you do that, then you want to inhale for four, hold for four, and then exhale for eight. The moment you do that, it'll take you out of the stress response and drop you into parasympathetic rest response.
Yeah, that's like, it's kind of nice how when people smoke cigarettes, they get to go outside and they have like a second to breathe. And it's like, wow, that's a really nice moment where you're outside by yourself and you're literally inhaling, holding, and exhaling.
Exactly.
And imagine if we had the same concept, like I'm going to go outside and take a breath break, where you just go outside in fresh air, get your vitamin D, and do that.
Oh my gosh, I like that. I'm going to go outside and take a breath break.
Yeah, isn't that cute? That is and very effective, because you're getting your vitamin D, your fresh air, and you're breathing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that's cool, because I've always struggled with my stress, and that's as simple as it can get. It's breath.
It's breath.
Especially because you put me on Louise Hayes
mm-hmm.
to work on the affirmations to get in my brain and rewire my thinking so I wasn't so stress prone.
Yep. So breath will drop you into parasympathetic, out of the stress fight or flight. And then if you're angry or you're overwhelmed, just smile and try to laugh. Because the physiology of the smile, because you'll be like, I am so mad. But if you smile, these muscles that change the physiology in your face will literally get you out of the stress response.
Dang.
Mm-hmm. So you can be like, I'm really mad right now.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. So just smile. Smile, smile, smile. Even if it's fake. Because you think it's fake, but your body will eventually think it's real.
Wow. That's genius. That's very genius. Well, I think that we left a lot of beautiful, perfect information that can give people something to chew on until we get into our next conversation. Will most likely be like parenting or society these days, or rewiring the brain, or like really getting into detail about the gut. But this is my mother. She's going to be a reoccurring guest on very often. So thank you so much for coming on. We're going to be back on, and this was all related to just nutrition and elevating our health. So do you have any last complete comments?
I do, actually.
Okay, thanks.
I do, because I just posted a YouTube video that kind of goes into a little bit. I explain the SFF squared formula, and I also kind of talk about how do you live holistically. So you can check that out, my YouTube channel, Denise Loxon. And I think it'll be really helpful to kind of like wrap up what we talked about and kind of like summarize what we talked about. And I just wanted to share that.
That's perfect. So yes, that's getting healthy for 2023.
Mm-hmm.
Mother, thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
Have a lovely day and keep elevating.